You need another donut.
I do.
You need.
Need.
Dozen.
Gotta have that sugar and carbs. All right. Brother Alex, since you're standing, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you've done for me, and for free gift of salvation. I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they'll see the importance before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for these classes, and so that we can continue to learn more and just be with all the ones that are under doctor's care and, you know, all the needs and prayer requests, and continue to be with all the ones that are going to be traveling. They can have safe traveling grace, and also be with you probably coming up in Prineville next week, and be an outreach over there. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, to begin, before we jump right back into it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Going to dovetail a little bit on what Brother Cooper was talking about, but especially what Brother Hawker was talking about last night.
First Corinthians
chapter 2 and verse 10. Brother Jared, you might as well just kind of, well, I don't know if we left off. Yeah, we'll start with you. Brother Jared, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10.
But God hath revealed him unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
How do you know the words of God? The Spirit of God reveals them unto you. And now, this little bit. Do not, in this class, be afraid to ask questions. Even the questions that you think that you already should know. Because a lot of times we learn or we hear Scripture and we get it up here in the brain. How is your intellect what allows you to understand the Word of God?
No.
So I don't care if you or have a kindergarten education or if you have a PhD in whatever. Does one have an advantage over another in learning, understanding the Word of God?
The person without the PhD has the advantage.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. So, what is it that we are saying? Your intellect does not really come into play on the Word of God. It is whether or not God is going to teach you. Now, that also means that many times people learn stuff or learn the facts of the Bible. And I'm talking even members of a New Testament church learning the facts of the Bible, and they think that is the education of God. Is there a difference between just learning the facts versus the understanding in the Word of God? Yes. So, in these classes, you may have been raised inside of a New Testament church, but maybe you have not now taken the time to allow the Lord to teach you those things, and He teaches you it on a spiritual level. Inside, I don't know a better way to explain it. He teaches you it to you spiritually. And in that, you will come across questions that you think sometimes, well, I should know this answer. Don't let that stop you from asking the question. Because you really are exercising a muscle that you have not done before. Well, I should say, I hope you have done it before, but you may not have been doing it as often as you think. Brother Reagan.
I always think of that I should know this as sort of, that's our pride getting in the way.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, thinking that you maybe you should know it just from how long you've been around, but maybe you weren't right with God, and now you are right with God, and you're in the ability and the position now to learn it, and you weren't before. So yeah. Don't let your pride stop you.
Don't let your pride stop you. That's ultimately where I'm getting to. So you got a question, even if you were raised in church and even if you think, well, I should know this, ask the question anyways. I will tell you, if you have the question, probably other people have the question as well. Because we are covering and trying to cover some basics. This is basic Bible doctrines. And sometimes we think, I should know this. Well, sometimes I might know it here, but I haven't really got it spiritually. So don't be afraid to ask. Now let's go to Romans chapter 7. We are looking at the two natures. And some of this, hopefully, you know, as we see. What is the very first nature that everybody's got? Sin nature or the Adamic nature? Adam, is that how you spell it?
I-T is how you spell it.
Adamic?
I-T.
I-T?
You said spell it.
Oh. Okay, remember, you're talking to a moron here. What's a new nature?
Spirit.
New creature. The new man, spiritual man. Now, in hopefully just a quick review of last night, Adamic nature. Is there any good in this Adamic nature?
No.
None. There is no good in this Adamic nature. Now, when we are talking about this Adamic nature, are we talking about, well, an individual who has only the Adamic nature, well, then they never can help the little old lady across the street. They never can be feed the poor. And so obviously if someone is feeding the poor and they're doing all these nice charitable things, therefore they must be saved.
No.
When we are talking about the Adamic nature versus the spiritual nature, sin nature versus godly nature, whose standard are we going off of?
God's
standard, God's law, God's barometer. And according to his standard, is there anything that I can do that is righteous?
No.
None. Brother Jared.
Matthew 7:21-23 talks
about,
not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Yep. There are going to be a lot of people who say that, well, they did all the good stuff, but they did it under that Adamic nature, and they never had the spiritual nature. They never had God make that new nature, and so God will say, it's worthless, it's nothing, even though they did all the right things.
It's sin.
Sin! Now, when we understand this Adamic nature, this is only sin, which means if you are lost, there is nothing you can do that is good. And I know I'm repeating myself, but drive that into your head, Brother Nathan.
Isaiah 64:6, it's a landmark verse. Details matter.
Yeah.
But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Everything that we perceive as righteous, God says is a filthy rag. All in the flesh.
All. Now, get a hold of this. Lock it down. All. Because does this change even though I'm saved? I still have this nature. And it is easy for me to think, well, you know, now that I'm saved, look, I can do some good things. When I help the little old lady across the street, well, that is a different thing than those that are lost. Where does it come from? That's me. That's my righteousness. Right? And I'll jump to the end here. I'll get you here in a second here, Brother Christian. Is preaching the Word of God, teaching, telling an individual the Word of God, is it a good thing? Don't be afraid to say it. Yes, it's a good thing. Now, is the individual that I preach to, talk to, are they going to get saved because of me?
No.
What actually happens is that, and this is a lot of what the lesson we're going to get, if I yield to the Lord, and I speak the oracles of God, I speak the Word of God, what then does God do?
The Spirit will convict them.
The Spirit will convict them. The Spirit will use the words that the Lord has led me, but it's not me or my words. It is the Spirit of God that does the work. And so righteousness can be done through me by God, by Jesus Christ. But is any of that my righteousness? No, it's not my good. It is God that works through. So that brings us to Romans, Brother Christian, as we go to Romans chapter 7.
I think about 2 Corinthians 5:21, and for he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might have made the righteousness of God in him.
Okay.
It's not our righteousness.
Not our righteousness.
And then, yeah, Isaiah 55:11 tells us about that work that goes forth. It's not ours.
Yep.
It's his.
Yeah. Now, does that mean the Lord will not use people? He does use people. Yes, that's what he wants. He does want to use you. That's the way that it is most effective. That's what he has told us to go out and to preach. So, but understanding that, let's read here, Romans chapter 7, and Romans 7, 18 through 25. Who would like to read that? We'll just take volunteers. Who wants to read it? Can you read? All right, Brother Jace. Romans chapter 7, 18 through 25. Nice and loud for everybody.
Therefore have me...
Romans 7. Romans 7, 18 through the end of the chapter. Start in verse 18.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good things, for it is will to is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would... I do not, but the evil which I would do, that I do, would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is more no more that is that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law and good after its inward man, and I see another law in my members, warring me against my law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this dwelt? I thank God for Jesus Christ, sir, Lord. So then with the mind of myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh of the law of sin.
Now, there's a lot of times that sometimes is confusing a little bit. What do we know about the flesh? Brought out right there.
Evil.
Sin. Filled with sin. Dwelleth no good thing. Even when I would do good, even when I would help the little old lady cross the street, what do I find present within me? Sin. Present within me. Now, obviously it's God speaking, but who did God use?
Paul.
We know about Paul. Paul was one of the best examples that we have in the Bible. And what does he use? He declares that there is none good, and there's nothing good in him. Even when he would do good, what is it? Evil is present with him. Now, a couple of quick other verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 28, 29. I'll just try to make it easy. Jax, we're just going to go right down the line there. So, Brother Jax, go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 1, 28 and 29.
These things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh to glory in his presence.
That last little phrase, that what? No flesh should glory in his presence. Sister Leah, John 5:41. Does God receive honor from men?
No.
No. So, how long does this go on?
Forever.
Until we get a new nature. Until this old nature is gone. Okay? So, then the next step. What now do we do? If we have this old nature, what then do we do? Can we do anything about it? Is there a way that we can serve the Lord because we have this flesh and the people that we see have this flesh? Can we do anything about walking in the Spirit? And what does that mean? So this next step is how to live with this. How to deal with this on a day-to-day basis, on what we do and how we act. So to understand that, let's go back to Romans chapter 7, and we're going to read a couple of verses, because I remember as a child, this hit me. Well, I thought about this as a child. I heard about walking in the Spirit. Anybody ever heard that phrase? Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, I remember as a child hearing that phrase, walk in the Spirit, and I thought, well, somewhere along the way, the Lord's just going to hit me with a magic wand and I will be walking in the Spirit. So, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? That's, I don't necessarily want an answer, but I want to be thinking, you to be thinking about that as we read these verses. What does it mean? So, Romans, what did I tell you? Romans 8 or Romans 7?
7.
Romans 7, verse 25. We just read it. Please go for it. Verse 25.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
So how do I serve the law of God? Don't want to quit yet. I want to raise a hand. I'm going to call on certain people. How do I walk in the law of God? Raise your hand.
With the mind.
With the what?
Mind.
It tells you right there. With the mind, I serve the law of Christ. Romans chapter 8, 6 through 8. Brother Christian.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Okay, so here is the next little step. I just said, as the Bible just said, how do you serve the law of Christ? With the what? Thank you. With the spiritual mind. So can you have a fleshly mind? Yes, you can. So what is the difference between a fleshly mind and a spiritual mind? What's that?
Death and life.
Life and death? Okay, a little more specific.
One's from God. The spiritual mind is from God. The other one completely opposed to God.
Okay, wonderful, but that still has this mystic feel to it. Like, yeah, just ethereal. The Lord's just going to make me magically kind of understand how to walk in the mind of the Spirit, Brother Crabtree.
You have both. Depending on which one you yield to or are controlled by.
Well, now you're jumping ahead, but that's okay. Go ahead. Is that it?
No, I'll wait for you.
Okay.
Well, it says the law. So you decide to follow the things that you're instructed that God approves of. That's the spiritual mind. That's not a magical poof thing. It's doing the rules.
I'm gonna put it even simpler. Word of what? God. What do you think about? What do you meditate on? Philippians chapter 4. Brother Jeff, go ahead.
Well, Romans 12:2. Just be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Okay. Again, the mind. Now, this is why I want specifics. Because I remember, and we say it, and people use the buzz phrases, and sometimes I don't think that we know. Well, you know, we just need to have the mind of Christ. We just need to walk in the Spirit, and we just need to do what the Spirit tells us to do. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times I hear people say that, and you know what they really mean? Is I feel like this. They use that word, but they mean I feel Because I just feel the leadership of the Lord leading me to be a good person. Mm-hmm. Brother Doug.
Well, chapter 7 and 8 together, and I know you're just reading the verses that are emphasizing it, but verse 5, it's when we mind or let the Spirit, how does the Spirit lead and teach us? It's not our emotions or how we feel, it's the Word.
Thank you.
It's the instructions of the Word that we, our that goes into our mind in the education, and then the Spirit works in the leadership of the instruction the Word gives us.
In the Word. What it says. So, can you control what you think about?
Yes.
Better according to Philippians 4.
Yeah, we better. Brother Alex.
What you put in is what's going to happen.
What you put in is what you put out. So that means when you wake up in the morning, you should, and you better, stick some verses in your brain. Why? Because you need it. It
flushes away the fleshly thoughts.
It pushes away those fleshly thoughts.
Say, so, Brother Cuthbert, and you've been hitting on it, but it's the constant battle. There's a constant battle, and then, so it's whichever one you're going to feed.
Yeah.
That's going to be abundant in your life.
Yeah. And then, through the day, you now are driving to work, or you're going to this. What will your mind want to do? What is it, Brother Nathan?
It wants to trickle back to the flesh.
It will want to trickle back to the flesh. And what do you need to do?
Meditate on those words.
You need to then meditate. You need to then, and meditate simply means to think about. It's not the lotus and not the all the different, is that the right word? The lotus where you sit, you know, cross-legged and you hum. That's not the meditate. Meditate simply means to think upon. You think upon what? You think upon the things you just read that morning. Or you think about what was preached. Or you think about what was on Sunday. And you think about these doctrines. And you let that mind be in you, in your meditation, in your thought process. Because who here pays attention to their thoughts? And how many times in your very thoughts are you thinking about, well, that guy at work, he's this, or he's that, or, you know what, I'm just irritated by this, or that person in the traffic, they just irritated me, or, hey, you know, I'm having a good time, I'm looking forward to the movie, or I'm looking forward to dinner, or I'm thinking about this. Everything that I just laid out there, what is that?
Vanity.
That is the Adamic mind. That's the carnal mind. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Change how you think. Change what you think about. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I think, Brother Nathan, are you there?
Yeah. Which one? Me?
You.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Is that last little thing he just said there? Think on these things. You want to know specifically how to walk in the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Where do you think? Where is your brain?
I appreciate the way you're bringing it out like this, because a lot of times we think, well, no, carnal mind is when I'm thinking about sin. But that's not what the Bible has said.
No. And flush that out.
So how much of our time we spend thinking about all of these things in the flesh without realizing, wow, I'm thinking in the flesh right now. Because my mind isn't on those things.
How many times, and honestly, self-evaluation. How many times did you just think about the TV show? The latest, greatest superhero movie. The fun time you had, whatever. Right, I said your superhero movie, Brother Reagan's over here. Oh, wait a minute, get off of those!
I know so much about Marvel and Star Wars.
Know so much about it. Oh, it's embarrassing. I don't think you're alone, but what does that tell us?
That's where your mind is.
That's where your mind is. And Brother Reagan is not alone. That's... Minus. And none of those, well, those aren't the bad things. But yeah, you're right. They're not, but once again, we're not, whose judgment are we talking about? God's judgment, Brother Nathan.
And to kind of crack that can of worms open a little bit, when we're reading about the history of the Baptist churches, rightly dividing Bible analysis, the doctrines of God, let's be wise about this. In this group, New Testament church members, we got to get away from the fleshly mind.
Yes.
In the deep, dark, gutter things of life. We get that. Those are easy, low-hanging fruit. The problem that we have is when we're not thinking about God from a doctrinal standpoint, we preach a lot about service, we don't spend enough time about why is it closed communion, what did the body of Christ give us, where do we stand on authority, where is the glory of God, how do you worship, things that root and ground you. Because the world has a million different ways to serve God, but, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, it's all the same to everybody. It's that doctrine of Christ that we need to change our mind. Satan fooled us to make us believe we're gods. And that has more to do with truth and doctrine than it does about the fleshly sins. We got to be careful not to emphasize one over the other.
Now, hope you paid attention to what Brother Nathan, we're going to come back to it. Brother Crabtree.
Romans 12, 1 and 2. If we make up our minds to this, it won't last. But if we let the word of God bring us to that point, control our minds, then through the Spirit we can do it and continue it.
Absolutely. And we often think, I'm going to reiterate what Brother Nathan just said, maybe change up the words again. We think, okay, sex, drugs, rock and roll. That's right. We need to stay away from those things. We know that those things are bad. Those are wrong. Those are evil. But we oftentimes don't think about the other carnal things that we maybe think about. So what can your brain do? What can you think about? What does communion mean?
Fellowship.
Okay. Everybody says fellowship. Meditate on that. Understand the deep things about that. What does that actually mean to commune with God, to have fellowship with God? Oh yeah, we say these things. Oh yeah, let's pray. It says, grasp what it means. What does it mean to actually give God glory, to give Him brightness? How does that take place? Is there an order for it? Is there a manner in which that He gets glory? And how does that play out in my life today and every day? And how can I do it? All those little details. Understanding, the Crabtree said it, by what the Word says. And you start asking yourself those detailed questions and you meditate on those and you think about those. How full is your life trying to figure out all those little things? I will tell you, you will have... Guarantee you, you will have a fuller life. You will not be thinking about empty, vain things. You will be thinking about deep, powerful things that when you grasp them and the Lord teaches them to you, you will realize that the Lord has taught you some depth. And you've actually accomplished something eternally. Not just, Brother Reagan left, not just what the cool superhero did on this or whatever that. Brother Christian.
Well, I mean, God consistently tells us to forsake our thoughts, our ways. I have to constantly tell myself I'm wrong and God is right a lot of the time. But I think about Isaiah 55, 7 through 9.
Okay, read it.
Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are... Your way is my way, saith the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We have to subject ourselves to Christ and His thoughts. We have to look at the world through the lens of Him rather than how we would like to look at it.
And I don't think you meant it this way. Oh. Not in a disappointing way. And I know you didn't say that. Well, we have to. No. You get to grasp the thoughts of God. Now, when I think about that, I try to think about that for a minute. How long's God been around?
Everlasting.
Everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting. Never had a beginning. Never has an end. So the things that you see in the Word of God, what are they? Eternal. They are things that God finds interesting. God finds powerful. So do you think that if I grasp them, I'm probably going to see the same things that God does? Yeah. Now, Brother Crabtree was jumping on this. We're going to get into it. How do you do this? What do you yield to? Practical applications on what this, how we actually do this. Galatians chapter 6. And for those teaching, for those learning for yourself, learning to yield. Learn what it means, learn what it teach, or learn how to teach an individual to yield. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. I really like this verse. Who is it? Sister Sarah, can you read that one for us?
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
What in the world does that verse talking about? Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Raise your hand, those that knew, those that want to give it a shot. What does that mean? Brother Christian, you want to give it a shot? I like it. Hey, at least you're stepping out. I'm waiting for these other guys to step out.
The circumcision of the flesh means nothing, but the circumcision of the heart is.
Okay. Why does he see bring out circumcision or uncircumcision availeth nothing?
Because that's what the Jews thought would save you.
Okay.
Or what they would push on people, I guess.
Okay. A little more, Brother Reagan.
Your status as a Jew or a Greek doesn't pertain to your spiritual. It's whether or not you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart.
Okay, so when you say, when you think about circumcision and uncircumcision, hopefully you do realize or think about works, maybe in regards to the law. So what are we dealing with? How did the Jews see those that were uncircumcised? They were low. They were down here. I'll give you another word for it. Go ahead.
And that's 100% flesh.
Here we go.
It's no spirit.
Circumcision. All of my good works because I'm doing the law, because I'm circumcised, because look at me. Look at all the good things that I have been doing. It's not in uncircumcision, or you got the Gentiles down here and they don't have any circumcision. They are dogs, those uncircumcised dogs over there. They're bad people. What is did I just say in that circumcision versus uncircumcision? My good works and my bad works. My actions. I'm a good guy, I'm a bad guy. It's not in circumcision or uncircumcision, but how is it evaluated? Last part of that verse. But in the new creature. Many times, even Baptists play in this game about I'm being a good person now, or that person's not so good. Good, bad. What my evaluation is. Well, they're fleshly. You know, they always come to church. They're just a really good person. Is that how God evaluates it? Not at all. Quit playing in this game. It is about a new creature. It is only about a new creature. So how then do we follow this new creature, Brother Reagan?
Well, you talk about the circumcision, I always think of Acts 7:51 and Stephen withstanding. He says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye."
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was hitting right at the heart of everything they were doing. Their hearts, they were trying to make sure that their outward appearance matched the law as much as possible, but inside they were completely against and opposed to God and the law and everything, of course, that Jesus was preaching. That's why they had to put him to death, so he couldn't handle it, because they're being convicted. And so he attacks right at their, you talk about circumcision, uncircumcision being one of those key definitions for them, their separators, right? separating them and putting them close to God, they think, and he just attacks it because their hearts and their ears weren't following God. They weren't circumcised.
And what you realize is religion plays all in this world. That's religion. And every one of them has their own idea of circumcision. What makes you a good religious individual? Because you're a good religious individual, because you're a Catholic, or because you're a Mormon, or because, you know, you were chosen before. All the different things that people have in here, and it's all played in this little game of good and bad, and my righteousness or my unrighteousness, look how good I am. It's all played in this flesh. Jesus Christ is not playing that game, because there is no righteousness in this flesh. Who is the only one that is righteous? This new man. Romans chapter 6. So practicing this, learning this, Brother Nathan.
Is this that Galatians 1:10, do we persuade God or do we persuade men? What's the game? Because you got to look to that. It's a game. Yeah. If you're trying on the outside, then you're telling everybody, I'm trying to convince you. It's that inside that we know, I can't see the inside of anybody, but God can.
Yep.
So that's where our life and our future is spiritually with the Lord, and whom only the Lord can see, really. Yep. So we got to get away from the game. The game's foolish. There's no winner in it.
And Galatians is a great book that actually teaches a lot about this. Galatians chapter 1 says, who presented another gospel unto you, but it was not another gospel, but some would pervert the gospel. That's what they do. They took this and they made it into this. They made it a fleshly thing. So what do we do? How do we deal with it? Romans chapter 6. Let me read this here, Brother Jeff. Give it to you. Romans chapter 6, 12 through 14. I apologize, I do not remember your name. Damon, please read it for us. Romans chapter 6, 12 through 14.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Okay. Couple little things. If you are saved, does sin have dominion over you?
No.
No. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Who makes that possible? Jesus Christ. God makes that. That means you have the ability to choose who you yield to. Brother Nathan.
Well, verse 12, let not.
Let not.
Sin reign in your body.
So then, here is the daily, hourly, by minute practice. Learn to yield to the Lord. How? What are the specifics? Change your brain. What you think about. What you meditate on. And when actions occur, somebody cuts you off in traffic, are you going to be irritated?
Yes.
Yes! That's natural. Do you continue that same irritation into the road rage?
Maybe. Depending on how much I yield.
Yield to the Lord. And why would you yield to the Lord? Because you have had in your mind the mind of Christ, how he has dealt with the situations when he was irritated. When hard things happened to him, how did he deal with it? What did he do?
Without sin.
Because without sin. Why? How? Because you are thinking about the Word of God. If you are not thinking about the Word of God and you are not yielding to the Spirit, the mind is not on God's Word, and somebody cuts you off and you get irritated, which is all rational, what then are you going to yield to? You're going to yield to this flesh, and it's going to keep going that direction. Brother Jared.
But this gives a whole other meaning to Psalm 119:11, that word I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Like it literally, God tells you so often that when we yield to the Spirit, when we yield to his word, when the word is in our hearts, in our minds, and that's what we yield to every day, we might not sin against him. We don't have to be servants to the flesh anymore. We're choosing to be servants to it. We're choosing to let that reign in us when we don't have to. God did it and made a way for us to not, but you have to put the effort in to do it.
Now, we're out of time, but when you get a hold of this right here, how much of this is mystical or mysterious or, you know what, just I was just caught off guard by the flesh and it just overtook me and I just didn't know what was going on?
None.
Because you can willfully choose to put your brain, to put your mind, to meditate on the Word of God. Is it too hard? No. 1 John chapter 5, his ways are not grievous. They are not burdensome. Does that mean that it's easy as cake and everything is fine and no big deal?
No,
it takes persistence. It takes a willful dedication that today I am going to turn my mind to the Lord and it will yield fruit. Questions, comments?
I think, I mean, for me...
Oh, good. We're talking about you now?
It's, I struggle with this a lot. I mean, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the motive and what you do. We fall in love with the Lord. A lot of this becomes a lot easier path to be walk towards the mind of Christ and then all after that. But and knowing that I mean, all of our good works and all of what we do, they profit nothing unless you have love for the Lord.
Yep.
And so it plays with the mind a little bit, but it kind of puts in perspective of, all right, what's your motive of what you're doing and what you're doing. And it makes it a lot easier to yield to the Lord when you have the right motive.
Yep. All right, let's all stand. Brother Nathan, come forward, please.